Blog Talk Radio. is telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in calm ocean time must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here, and we want all of them not next year, not next week, but we want them now, at this hour. This is what we're going to
say. What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
Once again, it's Friday night, and it's the Black Business Billionaires Network Club. I'm your host, Reverend Ron, a.k.a. Dr. Ron Robinson, a.k.a. Mr. Electric, and just call me anything you want, but don't call me late for dinner. Listen, people, it's amazing that ain't no stopping us now in the incredible, this magnificent person, Dr. Martin Luther King, a loving person, had to have a serious conversation with America, and Ain't No Stopping Us Now had to have a serious impact on our conditions. I remember when that song came out back in the 70s, it became the national anthem for African-American people. It is nonsense that we're continually going through these conditions, and that's why here at the Black Business Billionaires Network Club, we try to educate you on economics. You have to become self-sufficient and independent, and you have to become together. You have to unite. I send out many different financial opportunities to my associates, to the members of the Black Business Network Club, and to be a part of the club doesn't cost you nothing. You don't have to be a billionaire, a millionaire, a thousandaire. You just have to find a way to get there. And so when you come on this Black Business Billionaires Network Club, we're here to encourage, we're here to influence, and we're here to develop our community. And I'm not shaking any other communities because I'm not the person that designed the system. I am the person trying to deal with the system, and I'm trying to educate my kids, my grandkids, my great-great-grandkids, and so forth, and your kids as we go along. There was a video going around with Tom Hanks, the incredible actor, and he was saying that he was angry. He was angry because at 66 years old, he did not know about Tulsa, Oklahoma. He did not know about the slave trade. He did not know about the conditioning of African Americans. He did not know after the Reconstruction, there were 2,000 African American statesmen in the government in the United States at that time. And he did not know. None of this history is very beguiling that he didn't, you know, 66 years old, and he didn't know none of this stuff, you know, that's questionable. But there's possibility a lot of people have been miseducated, uneducated, and not told anything. And now they got CRT, critical race theory, and they're saying that that's a bad thing. You can't talk about African-American history. You can't talk about the contributions of African-Americans. You can't say anything. But then you don't have America. Right now, $1.3 trillion or $2.3 trillion or $3.1 trillion of African-American spending money is keeping this country rich. We built the White House. We built the economy on the backs of our people who did not have anything, and didn't give and wasn't given anything. Most people that go through some dehumanizing experience, Holocaust or the Japanese when they were locked up, got compensated for their disenfranchisement. African Americans never got it. We never asked them for anything. But even the fact that we wanted to develop something for ourselves, they didn't want that to happen either. So America, you got to give it up and be for real. Either you want us here or you don't want us here. You're gonna give us what belongs to us, or we just have to find ways and means to develop our own system, but do not deny us the opportunity to grow and to be independent and to go forward. And that's my whole thing. I don't care who gets rich. Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Elon Musk, Zuckerberg, Sofop and all other billionaires, the 1%ers control everything, all the wealth. I do not care. I have nothing against people progressing economically. Just don't stop me. Just don't put things in my way for me to go for it as well. Give me the opportunities that you're allowing white people to get. I want the same opportunities. I don't want to have to do no extra stuff to get the same thing. I got a PhD. I made $1 million at 18 years old. Whatever that gets me, and I didn't get that. And when I, back in the 70s, when it happened for me, nobody gave me anything. Nobody supported me. I was met with a lot of regrets, but that's fine. Don't hold nobody back. Give everybody the same opportunity. That's what America is all about. That's what you say for enterprise system, economic development, all men created equal, so forth and so forth. That's what Dr. King is saying. Live according to the things in which you say and don't be a liar. So that's what it's all about. It's about doing the right thing at the right time and moving forward. We as a human beings can be better much off if we support each other, irregardless of race, economy, class, language, fat, skinny, LBGTQLY, whatever that is. It doesn't matter. Respect each other, respect people, and let's go forward. Those of us who are humanitarians, those of us who are honest and understand that everybody deserves an opportunity, we have to stand up to those demagogues and to those dehumanizing people and stop them from doing what they're doing. There's a lot of good people in America of all shades, all colors, all languages, and we all want to move forward. We all want to have prosperity for our families and be healthy and go forward. So that's what we have to do. That's what we have to fight towards, and that's what we have to make happen. Today on the show, Don Jr., the CEO, is on with a special guest, and we're going to bring him on and give him a nice So, Pastor Don Jr., the CEO,
yes,
are you
sir.
There? And you got
yes,
all the
sir.
Noise
Green.
Background going? There you are.
Yeah,
go right ahead.
Kids. The kids are put in a respectful place.
Dad,
let me
the mouse, the lady next door.
Right.
Brother, how you doing?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm happy. I'm getting ready for the year of Michael Jordan. It's time for us to turn up and show out. The world is waiting.
Amen.
We can't wait no more. We got Mr. Chris Collins with the Hope Foundation. He's a mighty man of God. He's on a call 309-542. That's the first digits of his number. But he's a very connected guy, and I want to bring the Hope Foundation to a NEO project because we got to connect the network to make it happen. So
let's
you got
give him
to
a nice,
my brother.
What's the brother's name again?
Chris Collins.
Chris Collins, give you a nice man. Welcome to the flagship.
Paid to Dr. Chris to operate on.
Your mic is open.
It says BEO is ready.
542. You probably have to unmute yourself as well.
309-542.
Your mic is open. Are you there?
You're texting me. He told me he's listening.
No, he's on. It's 309-542.
He might have another call on another queue. We can come back
okay.
to him, but the whole thing is I'm about helping the NEO project grow, and I want to keep bringing in Boston successful people to push this mission out there. And he just texted me, he said he will be right on. So he's on the other end, but he's definitely there. He can hear us. So we do know you. Chris Collins is in the building. He had to take a call. Yeah, everybody's
Amen.
Moving, man.
Great. It's, you know,
I am here, brother.
Time now. Earlier
yeah.
in my monologue, I said about, you know, Tom Hanks was very upset because he wasn't properly educated, and a lot of things that he's knowing now about the experience of African Americans in America, he said he didn't know then. He didn't know, you know, in the years, and he's upset because no one had told him, and he felt he'd been denied, you know, a true education, which is factual, you know. If you don't know your history, you don't know what's going on, you deny a true history. So it coming a time now where folks are waking up, folks on both sides of the aisle, folks, Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, rich, poor, black, white, green, orange, Spanish, English-speaking, non-English-speaking. People are waking up to the terms and conditions in which they're experiencing, and people are saying, I'm ready to do the right thing. I'm ready to do the right thing. I saw a nice little video of, of two little young white boys, and they were like, I guess, 3 and 5. And so the older one, the 5-year-old, he says, it is bad the way they treat the black people, how the white people treat the black people. It is bad. And so the little brother at 3, he said, what are we? He said, are we the white people? He said, oh, shit. I mean, you have to see the video to get the whole gist of it. But it was just so funny, and it's funny, but it's real. You know what I'm saying? It is what our children are facing. Children are so beautiful. Children are so innocent, and you know they're loving. They don't care if it's fat, skinny, ugly, pretty, fat, whatever. You know, they just loving. They just loving. Children are very loving and very innocent until people contaminate their behavior and their mental conditioning is toxic. You know, we live in a very toxic environment right now. And people, it is so important. What I'm trying to develop here now, this is what's going to happen in 2023 while we wait for the gentleman to come. If he's here, sir, you can let us know.
He's coming.
You can let us know when you're ready. But this is my mission, brother Don. The Black Business Billionaires Network Club 2023 is going to look like this. I'm putting stuff out there, financial opportunities, money opportunities, and people are calling me and saying, Ron, what about this? What about that? I want you to do your due diligence. I want brothers and sisters to participate in the programming that I put out there, take advantage of it, come back to the program on Friday night, 7 to 9, call in and educate other brothers and sisters about what you discover about the program. Because I can sit here and say all night long about the program, it doesn't mean nothing until somebody take advantage of it, become successful in it, and can educate other people about it. So I don't do your D&D. I'm not doing people's, you know, you know what I'm saying? I'm Pastor Don. I'm not doing people's D&D. I'm not doing your due diligence. Your mother and father couldn't go to the school and sit next to you and do your homework. You understand
Come
what I'm saying?
Now.
I'm not doing the homework for you. I expect for us as the Black Business Billionaires Network Club members and everybody that called in, I consider you a member of the Black Business Billionaires Network Club, and I'm going to make all kinds of opportunities available come in 2023. I got some great things happening. I got some stuff going on in the Dominican Republic, getting ready to develop a $100 million tourist attraction, hotels, swimming pools, bars, clubs. They're going to have a fantastic concert hall, and we're going to be working with some of the major hit makers in the music industry. I'm not going to call their name out because they like to do that themselves. But we're working with some major artists, major people in the music industry, different promotional management. Just working with a host of brothers and sisters that you never see. You know, you hear about the Def Jams and the Arista Records. You hear about all that stuff, and you never hear about the brothers and sisters behind the scene. People in AR. People in the development and research departments, people doing legal work, you know. And so we're working with those brothers and sisters because I want to make all young people understand that maybe you can't sing, maybe you can't dance, but maybe you got a great mind. You can become a lawyer. Maybe you can become an A&R. Maybe you can become management. You know, you can work in other aspects of the music industry. It's a tremendous industry, and it's huge. And Pastor Don Jr., CEO, will tell you all about it because when he was a baby, they said, go over there, boy, and develop that record. So he grew up in this thing, you know, and he knows that there's a lot of opportunities when you do it right. When you do it right, I want to shout out to one of the greatest guys that I know personally. We lost him recently under very unusual conditions. Brother Steven, aka DJ Twitch, boss.
All right.
Great person. I knew his mother and I knew his grandfather and I knew him. He was a kid,
wow.
But I didn't see him after that. After he grew up and went into the music industry, went into dancing, choreography, and got into Dancing with the Stars, and just did a wonderful job. And then he went to Ellen DeGeneres show, did DJing there for her. Now he became executive director of her program as well, and was doing a fantastic job. And I guess everybody knows the story. You know, I know what they say. I don't know the total story, but I know what the news say. He went into a hotel and he had left a note that he was frustrated. He couldn't take anymore, and he shot himself. I mean, the brother had everything going for him. Everything going for him. This brother, all over the world, tons and tons of people just calling in and writing letters to his wife and kids from all over the world. There's not a person that hated this brother. This brother was the most loved brother, and he had that spirit. He had that smile. I remember when he was a kid, he would come in and tell jokes, and he would light up the room. He just was a good person. And you know, it's just so unfortunate what happened with him. God bless his wife and kids and his mother and his grandfather and his father and extended families as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I said that is because this world can be very overwhelming. And,
yes,
and as
sir.
We see, so many people, not only DJ Twitch, but so many entertainers in the last 3 months, 25 different entertainers from different aspects of the industry have taken their lives. Nobody paid attention to that. A little young boy, 16 years old, from Nickelodeon, Disney World, took his life. Several other actors took their life, and it's been going on and on and on. And there's something wrong with that picture. Here's people that at the peak of their industry, at the peak of their artistry, and, you know, getting rave reviews, and all of a sudden they're gone. I mean, the sister, I forgot her name, her son took his life, and he was like 26 years old. He was developing music in the music industry. His dad was in the music industry, got him involved in it, and he was just doing all kinds of projects with all kinds of major artists. And the sister, his mother just won the Academy Award. Jesus, her name skipped my memory, but she's a good artist. She's a good actress, and she was very close to her son, and you know, and she lost him last year. So I'm just saying to people, be careful of your mental capacity as well as what you got for your heart, your kidneys, your liver, and all that good stuff. Look out for your health. Also, keep attention to your mental health. There's something in the medical field we call optimal health. And that's when the spirit, the physical, and the mental is all working in high capacity. You're functioning at the highest level that you can function. And everything is in good working order. You know what I'm saying? Like the doctors always say, how is the plumbing? And you know what that is, the plumbing. So, you know, everything's working in order. So I'm just saying to people, listen, be protective of yourself. Be protective of your family. Protect your children. You know, we all got children, and some children are more sensitive than others. You know, and you have to pay a little attention to those kids because they're sponges, and they're absorbing all these things that's going on. A lot of time, a child will laugh really when inside they're crying, and if you don't pay
Come
attention
on
to it, you won't catch it. So there's that, and same thing with men. Taught that, you know, you got to be strong, you got to keep up a good faith, you got to hold up for the family. But sometimes you need to break down, you need to talk to somebody, and you need to go to that personal friend, confidant. Everybody needs a confidant. When I was in seminary, Pastor Don, one of the old ministers told us, he said, you know something? He said, y'all ain't got friends. We're like, yeah, he's cool with me, I'm cool with him. And he said, no, y'all don't have friends. Y'all don't have real friends. And man, that really blew my mind, brother, because I'm saying I'm in this is ministry. You know, these are prophets. You know what I'm saying? Ministers, prophets, bishops, these are future ministers. I thought I'm in an environment where everybody love everybody. You know what I'm saying? But he said to us in a prophetic way, he said, y'all don't have friends. Y'all don't have real friends. He said, y'all don't know what
associates.
I'm talking about when I talk about friendship. You know what I'm saying?
That's my brain told me. Yeah, associates.
There you go. There you go. But, you know, I have one best friend since I was 5 years old. Knock on wood, we're still friends today. Because I'm
Amen.
So nice, I put up with all his crap. But,
come
you know,
on now.
But, you know, that's a person. Family people you can be real with, because family know you from the beginning. They know who you are, where you come from. You can't jive family. You understand?
Amen.
And I had the fortunate provision to have this great friend whom I can go to and tell him everything and feel comfortable, because I'm a very private person. I don't feel comfortable telling everybody everything, because people take it in different ways. And sometimes
Amen.
You might want to tell somebody. Not that they're telling on you, but sometimes people feel like, well, yeah, let me share this about Ron with whoever. And a lot of times, people don't know me. They don't have my good intentions. And a lot of people are just sitting around waiting for you to fall. You know, they're not your cheer group, you know. But at this time as well, I see the man himself. I see Dr. James W. Winborn in the house, the developer, the choreographer, the manufacturer of Neo Nation and all these programs that you hear about here at the Black Business Billionaires Network Club, and all the programs you hear out throughout all the shows during the week. This man came to me with a gun in my head and said, well, hey, stop this show or else. And I said, here I am. But anyway, I want to give a nice welcome to James W. Winborn. Let's give him a nice hand and welcome him to the show.
Greetings, everyone. I just wanted to call in to say hello. I didn't plan on being on. I said, I had a second, so I said, let me call in support, see what's happening.
Let me tell you, brother, that has
yes,
played
sir.
Out every time I see you and I put you on the show, you say the same thing. I think 2.3 is coming. I'm going to give you a new thing to say.
Okay.
I'm happy to be here, and thank God he opened up my mic, because he didn't. You won't be here for him next week. But it's always good to have you on, brother. It's always good to have you on. People, I'm joking. If anybody take that seriously, I am just joking. me and Dr. Winborn, we've been cool from the day I saw him. He was like 30 years old getting married, and I was like 10, you know. But he's a good brother. So tell us what's happening. We're waiting for the other gentleman to come on. Until he come on, if he's there, is he there now, Dr. Pastor Don?
Yes, he's available and he is ready. So you got
to great.
That's Chris
Dr. Winborn, hold tight. I'm going to go back to you. And we have with us Pastor Don Jr. What's the brother's name?
Chris Collins. With the Hope
Chris
Foundation.
Collins, we have him from the Hope Foundation. Welcome to you. And we want a little more information about what you're doing.
Thank you. I've been loving hearing what I have been hearing in your show, and I'm honored to be here and share space with you, with all of you. And look forward to seeing how the future is going to come out.
Well, Brother Chris, I know a lot about the foundation, but you can expound on it, because this is our investor show. This is where the NEO project, this is where the brick meets the pavement. We're not just planning stuff, we're putting it in motion. So tell people about your programming and everything you're doing at the Hope Foundation, and let the world know how we can help you.
Okay. Well, I started this project back in 2005 when Hurricane Katrina happened, and I tried to get the material from Mayor Nagin. He told me he wanted $250 million for it. What he never asked what I wanted to do with it, but the only question I ever said to him was, please don't
don't ask me for money and I won't ask you. And when I asked for the recycling material, he said, I need $250 million. I left the meeting. I wound up getting with the largest recycler in the country that was family owned. They were leaders of the industry, great company. And I tell them that I got a million cars that I want to recycle. I said, but they want $250 million for it. And he said, we'll pay it. I was on the phone with him for 30 seconds. And I said, does that mean you're going to keep the material? And he says, you need to talk to me. I said, I'm scared to death to talk to you. I said, because you just said you'd pay $250 million in 30 seconds. He said, yeah, but I also offered you $4 million to walk away from the deal right now. And he says, I don't even know your name. He says, I think you can trust me. So I tell him. And, you know, he's a wonderful man. But I tell him that what I want to do with that material was recover it and rebuild Hurricane Katrina and build every home back, but build it out of something that will withstand wind, fire, and water. And it can be recycled 1,000 times. And it can create a sustainable way of life right now as everything was taken. And he said, you go back and tell them that we won't pay them nothing. In 30 days, we'll have buildable material there. And in 6 months, there won't be a piece of scrap metal on the Gulf Coast. Well, it's been 17 years, and there's still scrap metal on the Gulf Coast. But most of it got cleaned up. But it was also sold. And he went to prison for doing wrong with the money. So there comes, you know, what you do upon others, it gets done upon you. So I didn't have to do anything to him. He done it to himself, but he also done it to everybody that didn't get an opportunity at the time. But I went to Congress because I built a home there in 2006, July, 1 year after the anniversary of Katrina, that saves $11,000 a year in insurance versus a wooden one next door to it. It's 2,500 square feet. It's on stilts, 10 feet in the air. And the house don't burn, don't absorb water. It's stronger, termite-free, mold-resistant, seismic, recyclable. Build it without a dumpster. Build it cheaper than wood. And get a 60% discount on insurance versus a wooden home. But even though doing that, I was still, you know, a poor man trying to get a message out. And I didn't get that material. So after I built that home, there was a flood in Cedar Rapids. So I went to Cedar Rapids a year after the flood, and they had a mold infestation in that city that was just unbelievable. And they wanted to make all this area green space and just tear all the houses down, but it was all mold infested, so everything was a biohazard. What it was is there was no way to recover a disaster. And I was a professional sheetrocker, so I know what it takes to get sheetrock on and off the wall and out of a house. And I helped them put a program together that if you build green in Cedar Rapids, that they would pay up to $54,000 or $56,000 a year mortgage that you do not have to pay back if you build it green. And they started flourishing with building because they gave an incentive. Tiny house there, but I built it in 20 minutes with 14 inches of snow on the ground with cordless screw guns with three of us just to prove we could do something if we were 40 strong in 8 hours here. We can make a difference. But we could also create jobs. And I had to keep going because Congress told me I had to prove all my theories to be a fact, even though I wasn't creating the wheel. I was just trying to put titanium ball bearings on it and lithium grease so it rolls really well. So I keep going. And 2010, we had Nashville's flood. So I took off and drove there. And I pulled into a neighborhood, and there was 14 houses with 25 people. And I went to two guys and I said, would you like some help? I'm at least 50% your power, but I would like to help you. I said, I don't want to get paid anything. I said, I just want you to do a favor for me when this is over. And he's like, all right. you know, what do they have to lose, right? 30 minutes. If I'm wrong, go back to doing what you're doing. But if I'm right, maybe we got something. And the guys were questioning it, but here I am. I drove from Illinois, you know. So they gave it a shot. So they were my first ones. Now, I walked straight across the street where there was five people, and I said, we want to help you get your house done. There's three of us, five of you. We're a little more than 50% your power, but we want to help you get your house done today. Will you accept the help? They said, yeah. I said, get your tools and tarps and meet them guys in the yard. And I could hear them two guys over there, and they said, he just volunteered us. And I went next door, and there was six people working. And I said, would you like some help getting your house done today? There's eight of us and six of you. We're stronger than you, and we want to help you. Will you accept the help? And the guy says, man, I've been here for a week. We ain't put a dent in this thing. I said, give me 30 minutes. If I'm wrong, go back to doing what you're doing. But if I'm right, you're going to be done with your home today. So he said yes, and I went on around the neighborhood, and there was a lot of singles working by themselves. But I got them all out in the middle of the street, and I said, who came from that house over there? I said, because I never went there. And they said, it's an elderly couple. And I said, well, we're going to start with their home. And this guy that's on that sixth house, he bucked me again. He says, I thought you said we were going to get my house done. I said, I did. I just didn't say it was going to be first. I just said we're going to get it done. And the guy turns around and he bucks me one more time because I said, I'm going to show you guys something. But before I do, I want you all to promise to do a favor for me. And I'm not going to tell you what the favor is until it's over, but I'll never contact you. You won't know my name. I said, I'm here for a reason. And they all had to agree. Well, this guy, he says, I ain't never agreed to do anything. I didn't know what I was doing first. I said, yes, you did, because you're doing it right now. You're in the middle of the street, and you ain't got a clue what's about to happen. And he shut up. We walked over to the house. I said, all right, I need a tarp on this side of the porch, and I need one on this side. I said, anything that we can save, I want a tarp right here in the yard where we can take everything. So walk in the house, pick up anything we can save of these people's, and put it right out there on that tarp. And I said, when you come back, I said, I want you to grab anything you can't walk on and put it on these other tarps, recyclable in this one and debris in this one. And I said, and when they're full, we'll carry them to the street. I said, but let's get the debris off the floor. 5 minutes later, we're standing at the front door again, and all the floors are clean. I said, now, step inside and lay all your tarps down on the floors. And I said, come back to the front door. It took about 3 minutes. They came back to the door, and I said, all right, I want you to walk in single file. I want you to put your hands against the wall or step back from it, but hold your hands out. I want you to be 1 foot apart from each other. And I said, I just want you to just follow the wall. It'll take you in and out of every wall, every room, bathroom, closet, doesn't matter. It'll take you everywhere and bring you right back to this front door. And 25 people is what it took to do these little houses. And it was kind of cool that the number worked out that well. But what I showed them was, I said, you could be looking at a door, a window, a kitchen cabinet, anything that could be in front of you. That 4x8 section is your responsibility. I said, and it's actually 7 feet because I'm going to cut it. So I ran around and I cut the house down at 1 foot off the ceiling height and made it to fresh sheetrock and never got water on it. And when I took the router and I did that, the people were switching places. That I said, if you can't handle what's in front of you, switch with someone that can. And if anything hits the floor and you can't walk on it and it's dangerous, you just say, I can't step on it, and we will out the door with the tarp and we'll be right back. I said, if you need help, there's two hands from the right, two hands from the left. All you got to do is say, I need more help, and more help will come. I said, now, apply your tools. And we walked out of that house 30 minutes later. And that was teaching them how to get a home in 30 minutes or less without knowing anything about construction. And we gutted 17,000 homes in 60 days, all volunteers. But it was the infection of showing the entire recovery teams that go around to disasters how to do something working together. instead of apart. And it's to bring unity into a community. Now, I saw Tennessee live up to the volunteer state, but it was amazing to watch thousands of people show up and knock out city blocks at lunchtime and go back to work. So they just showed up and they just put in an hour because their home was opened up and was airing out and was going to be saved. And those homes, you wouldn't know that Nashville was ever underwater, but it was done by an infection. Now, when I came home, I started construction on the greenest built home, and I built it out of recycled cars from Hurricane Katrina. But I built it in the middle of the woods with five people that never touched the material before in their life, and it was deemed the best built home in the city by every building inspector. And I got a congressional endorsement hand-delivered to President Obama that says we have created a way to give the homeless homes and the jobless jobs. That was August 16th, 2011. Then that fell upon deaf ears, okay, but I didn't stop. But then I got vandalized as I went to try to rebuild a tornado. And it just happened, but I was going to make every component and build them, every house right back in the Walmart parking lot and go put them back on the foundations they were taken from. But we were going to do it out of something that could be found and recycled if it ever did get destroyed again. And the machine got burnt that night, but the news did a story as I was leaving with the machine to show how portable I was. So then I struggled, but in 2018, I became a 501c3, and I found out, being an NGO, that I could partner with anybody I want. So I decided I wanted to partner with every child on earth, and they're going to be the teachers, because when they come home from school and they say, come see what I did today, and you have to go look your kid in the face, son or daughter, and then they look you in the eye and say, you can come help me tomorrow. Tell you what, it's time to change the world. Be the change you want to see. These machines, I have three factories right now that produce 2 feet of material per second each. The only reason there's a homeless problem is this message has not been out there, and you don't know that you are the solution to every problem, as our children are the solution to every adult's problem, as they're inheriting every one of them. But we need to give every person equality, and here's how you get it. We're the human race, we're human beings, but we're not being human. If you look at the palm of your hand right now, anywhere you are on the planet, it is pink. This is the combination that you show me the palm of your hand, I'll show you peace on earth. And that's a peace of mind, knowing that you're not alone. You show me the back of your hand, you can't help me. You can do nothing but hurt me. So we're the human race. We're human beings, but we're not being human. And the only way we're not going to repeat the past is to rewrite history. And that is the future. Our children are the now, and first grade through eighth grade, they can design the cities of the future, but when they push enter on that computer, an adult went to work, or a high school student or a prisoner, someone went to work building what they just created, because it's their future. It's not ours. I'm not going to be here, so why should I design a building that I want to see? It's not for me. I want them to design the cities. I want them to know that they have choices. You know, there's thousands of products that we can build green and recyclable and not use trees, but be able to withstand wind, rain, water, or rain and water, I guess, same thing. But, you know, snow doesn't matter. It doesn't transfer if you do it correctly. But build a net zero home that can take it off the grid. Or you can be hooked up to city sewer and water. You know, you can have electricity if you want it, but why pay a bill? But the other part is having our children earn a home as they are creating everyone's home. Everyone on earth deserves a home. You know, a lot of people have houses, but no one has a functional home. every home is dysfunctional. And that's because of the disses. Now, disgrace, discouragement. When, if we take the dis out of these words, it comes into encouragement or discouragement, grace. You know, this, people die from stress. Well, they stress on every month. On, you buy a house and you're worried whether you're going to lose your job in 30 years, be able to make this payment every month. Because if you don't, they take it, right? And it hurts you. It doesn't make it better. It makes it worse. Well, by being an NGO, it's time to give this back to our children. And as they own it, they never have to pay taxes on it as long as the charity owns it. And they own the charity. And every child that will be born, it belongs to them. But also it belongs to you. Every adult has to earn it by learning it. Children are getting given this gift. Because hope is humans on planet Earth, right? H-O-P-E, humans on planet Earth. Honoring our people everywhere. How about that, you know? Getting our veterans and everybody off the street and on their feet. Because we're only as strong as our weakest link. And everybody needs to understand we need to make this chain out of titanium. But if we pick up everyone with a hand up, not a hand out, and we pick them up. Now, the problems that we're paying for, they're not problems, so we're not paying for them. Well, what do people do when they make money? They spend it. That means economy goes up. Well, what do we do when we, every second of the day, we create? Now, is your creation becoming a monetary thing? It could be, but you got to share it so that you can get a team of people working on it, because most dreams happen with teamwork, not the teamwork makes the dream work. You know, in our military, they teach you to work as a unit to win the war. Well, we're going to win this war without a weapon of mass destruction. We're going to do it with weapons of reconstruction. But it's time to reconstruct the human, who we are, because our children only learn what we teach them, what they see. Well, right now, they're pure love, and that's what they want to be. They don't know hatred and envy until they meet you and me. So, and just embrace what they are so that we can actually make so many things change in just the way you go through your day. You know, if everybody took 20 minutes out of their 24 hours and just called people you ain't talked to in years and just ask them, how are they? Do they need anything? You'll be surprised. 99% of them will not say they needed anything except for somebody to ask because they were alone. And that comes down to our elderly. And our children need to know what our elderly went through, so that they don't have to go through it. They were born with technology that ain't been around that long. You know, I'm 50, so I watched it. And I'm still confused by it, because that's not my purpose. My purpose on Earth is to ignite a fire in your heart that water will never put out. Because in 2005, I happened to be on my couch because I had walked away from profit because of greed. And I said, no one will ever take my life from me again. I'm going to give it away. And I didn't know how literal those words were until I'm standing here today. But I do feel honored to be here. And I put a challenge out to do 50 cities in 50 weeks. I will do more. But we need people to take up the challenge, and let's get our people off the street and on their feet. I can do a two-hour demonstration instead of a presentation and change a life in your community, anywhere you are. But I do need your help. So thank you. That's who I am.
Hey, can you give out your information so they can get involved, a phone number, a website?
You said
some deep stuff.
Yeah, I wanted to actually ask a question as well. You said some fantastic things, man, and God bless you. You are doing the work that God, that I know, you know, God, the creator, whoever people call him, is very pleased with you. I want to ask you a question. I'm 72, so I went through all phases of homelessness and all phases of disparities and not having homes. And a lot of times people come with different analogies of why things are the way they are. Some people say, well, rich folks are building expensive homes, so poor folks or working class people can't afford it. Some people are saying, well, there's not enough land, not enough homes built. Then some people say, well, it's not enough people working and making money to pay rent or to get an apartment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. From your experience, if you had to think about how did this whole thing, here we are in the richest country in the world, the richest economy in the world, how did we get to this place of homelessness? Because I know when I was growing up in the 50s, it wasn't like this. It was a totally different environment. But I just want to ask you, from your opinion, is it the lack of jobs? Is it the lack of ingenuity and development? Is it the rich people building too much expensive homes? Is it not enough land and not enough space, not enough materials? What do you think got us to where we are?
It ain't none of that. It's not none of that. It's actually the greed over the need. The organizations that the grants to do what they do every day, all right, working individually, they're a Band-Aid. Now, there's an they do have an organization where it's called the Continuum of Care, and most people that get the grant money through the CDBG grant, they are a member of this continuum. Now, all of the people in the continuum don't necessarily work together. They just share information. But if you can get them to work together, you can change everything in your community. And for example, I did it. They were scared to death of me. When I did my presentation to this city, I listened to them for 14 months before I got to give a presentation. I never took a note, but I definitely paid attention. And when I answered every problem that they had put on that table over those 14 months in a 30-minute presentation, they said, this is their comment, what are we going to do when you empty all of our shelters? Okay. I want you to think about that. There's 52 organizations in front of me that are in dead silence right now. And one man speaks up. The funny part is they worried about their paychecks. I had a woman at a gas station. I tell her about what we're doing. She says, please don't do that. I said, what are you talking about? She says, I work at a homeless shelter. She says, I'll lose my job. I said, what homeless shelter do you work at? And as she was telling me, I pulled up the national office and said, you're lucky I don't call them. Because the national office is behind me. The local one's not. But the local one's independently ran. Okay? So every community is independently ran. So people need to understand that it's a business and they make money. Okay? Now, it comes down to that's not these people's purpose, okay? Do they enjoy their job? Now, you ask about, you know, the lack of work, the lack of workers. There's not the lack of work. There's plenty of work. The thing is do they enjoy doing that work, okay? I want you to find what you enjoy. I'm going to employ 1,000 different careers, okay? So what do you enjoy? Maybe you're going to enjoy something you ain't even done yet. But once we find what you enjoy the most, well, that's going to be your purpose, you know. And now when you wake up, you're not going to work. You're going to have fun. You're going to do what you enjoy. And if you can get a true thank you, you know, people say thank you all the time. A true thank you, you'll never forget. And not that you'll bring it up and talk about it later, but it'll hit you. It'll hit you deep. As far as people don't know who they are, you got to know your why. That's your wealth, health, and you. You have to have all three to have your synergy. And you can't have two and be happy. So if you can look at it in any way you want, if you had wealth and health and you didn't know you, that's how that suicide happened. Okay? I was listening. I was paying attention to what was being said in the show. Because he didn't have all three. You can have your health and you and don't have wealth and you ain't happy. If you had wealth in you and not your health, you're not happy. So we got to find out what your why is. And everybody has one. That's the beautiful thing. Plus, you have your own free will, okay? I'll never make your mind up for you. Never will I make your mind up for you. Everything that'll come out of your mouth, you create. I didn't say it. It didn't come out of my brain. Come out of yours. Now, the problem that we have is people don't know. I see, I'm sitting here just rattling, but it's because I've got a lot of experience in what I've done for others. It's not for me. It's not about me. It's about taking that M and turning it into a W, and we will change the world. So my job is to ignite a fire in people's heart that water will never put out, but start that inferno that will never burn you. Okay? These houses can be constructed by, I taught a blind person how to do it. You know, and I got a phone call last November, the day before Thanksgiving, and a blind man in Harvey, Illinois, calls me on the phone. I live 2 hours away from him. Never met him. And he says, Chris, he says, will you come to my city and see what I see? That's a blind man. Just made that statement to me. You know what I said? Yeah, I will. He says, will you come on Friday morning? I said, yeah. Day after Thanksgiving? You know, I said, yeah. He says, all right, I'll see you in 2 days. I'm going to text you the address. I showed up at his house. And this man, wonderful man, got an amazing story. But this man, he comes out, you know, we're walking out of the house and down the sidewalk, and he says, you in an SUV, a car, van, what? And I said, it's an SUV. He said, all right. He only touched it once with his cane. Never touched it with his hand until he put his hand on the door handle. And I get in the vehicle. And he says, all right, just go right up the street here, up to the stop sign. And we start up the street, and he says, now, you see over here on the right-hand side of the road? He says, you see all these houses with the boards on them? I was like, yeah. He says, all right. He says, there's 900 of them. But we boarded up 380 of them last year. And he's out there holding up plywood, putting screws in it, boarding them up because – they were trying to clean up their city. There's not even a grocery store, no drug store in this city. All there is liquor stores. And the liquor store wound up putting showers and washers and dryers inside the liquor store so the homeless could have a place to clean up twice a week. And that's because of this blind man. And he persists to take me around the entire city, and I know that he's an ex-NFL player, and I make a phone call, and I call a friend of mine that's another ex-NFL player, and he says, man, I'm 15 minutes away from you. I was like, yeah. I said, does that mean you're coming over here where I'm at? He says, yeah, I'll be there in a few minutes. I said, okay. So I introduced these two. And we got a picture where we're all three together. And I'll tell you what, it's kind of tough getting these big boys in a picture and a selfie while I'm holding a phone. But I was taking pictures of them two together. And that's when they were like, man, you need to be in these pictures. And I'm like, okay, how am I going to do that? I don't know how I'm going to do it. I said, what? You know, I tried to recruit somebody that was walking down the street, and he would not come over and hold my phone. They were saying I probably wouldn't let him hold your phone. But he wouldn't come over and take a picture of us. So the disconnect was there. But this man and this other gentleman, they're deliberate, okay? So just like y'all said, this is the get or done realm, right? So these guys get things done. And we've been able to get a professional football team inducted into the National Football Association this year in the south side of Chicago called the Southside Raging Bulls. And it's for 18 to 40-year-olds that have the talent to play in the NFL that never had the opportunity.
Wow.
So people can try out for that. We want people to know there is something new happening and it's on the go, you know. So now, not only did that man do that, but we've done a few events to help out the homeless. You know, we fed them at Christmas and stuff. But he turns around and gets a job 50 miles away from his house. Now, you know he don't drive. And he travels to this job. He's got an amazing story. So it'll be at another time to talk about him. We'll bring him on and let him talk because he's an amazing man. But he goes and gets this job at the Great Lakes Naval Base. And he is the human resource program outreach director for the Great Lakes Naval Base. And we're putting a program together right now in the city of North Chicago for workforce training, but getting our homeless off the street in Chicago, but training them into something they enjoy doing as they build their new home. This will be a transitioning building, so we will have the construction going on the premises of building homes for the homeless in the city. I do have a demonstration. We're doing a project in Chicago on February 3rd. Someone did take one of my challenges. So we're building a tiny house on February 3rd at an event in Chicago at the Grand Ballroom. And anybody's welcome. But this is how these changes start to be made. And
wow.
So yeah, any other questions? I mean, I ain't got no problem. I love questions.
Well, that's great. That's great. You're giving a resolution to a tremendous problem: homelessness, joblessness. The economy is going from one end of the spectrum to another end of the spectrum. And as you talk about the children, I have grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren. As you talk about children and how loving they are, which is so true. And I think about, you know, what are we leaving for the kids and what are we doing and what opportunities are we developing? Because when I was a kid, somebody left opportunities for me. You know what I'm saying? And that's the perspective of it all, is that we do the same thing. We leave something back for the children as well. You know, each generation to leave something, like you said, you know. And so what you're doing, brother, is a tremendous a job. And I commend you on what you're doing and tell you to continue to do it and encourage folks that if you're a person who's concerned about homelessness, concerned about the economy, concerned about people being underemployed or not employed at all, or if your community is going from one spectrum of the aisle to another one, and you want to make sure that your community strives and lives, you stay with this brother. You stay with him. You contact him. You get in touch with him. And like Dr., Pastor Don Geneseo said, Brother Chris, what is your your contact information, telephone number, email address, and things of that sort?
Yeah, it's my phone number is 309-542-6319. And the website, you don't have to put the www in it. Just put in hopeforhousing.com or .org. And that will get you to one of the websites that we have. The other ones I have to share digitally, but they're links. But the one thing I had to figure out was how do I do this without asking people for donations, right? Because I don't like asking. And how can I go ask people for something that they're going to own and have to give money to it? And what I'm wanting them to do is invest their time and put it into someone else so that, life will be better. And it wound up that I came up with some ways that we have 17 states in the United States that are deregulated states for energy. So we become an independent business and we get 20% of electric and gas in 17 states and 26 countries. And all you do is put an account number that you're paying in that website and show you're supporting what we're doing.
Wow.
And the money next month will come to this project. Now, we've also been able to figure out how could we get something out of like what Amazon is doing. So we partnered with almost 300 Fortune 500 companies, and everything you spend, Amazon, Walmart, Starbucks, Home Depot, Lowe's, and 250 other ones, everything you spend, you get cash back and we get a donation. So if we got a penny out of the billion items that are sold on Amazon today, of course we don't have to ask for a donation. But then we wanted another route. Now, every business in the country is working on a profit margin. Some of them are 20, some of them are 30. But every one of them that take credit cards and debit cards have to pay a 3% fee to process their stuff. And some of them are even paying for equipment. Now, we can eliminate that. So no cost will happen on every transaction. But 3.8% of every transaction that's made in America can go toward this project every day, every transaction. So we can make the business that's on a 20 to 30 have a 10 to 12% increase in their over, what their overall pay profit is. So that means they're, maybe their employees can make more money. But at the same time, for everything that's being bought, every item being sold, everything that's being done at the gas stations everywhere can be transferred over to where it can fund this project without getting government money that we have to pay for, so that we can continue to be sustainable without asking and needing other than people to show up and do something. So there's a lot that people need to understand that they do have, and all it takes is for you to step up and learn. It's the only free thing we have in life is to pay attention. So I try to surround myself with people with master's degrees and PhDs and you name it. I don't care. The smarter you are, I want to hang out. Because I'm going to be able to get your education and your experience by paying attention. I'm going to listen. I never liked doing meetings. But you know what? I've learned a lot by being around people that knew things that I had no clue what to do. But by doing that and putting those people that love to do what they love to do in those places, I've been able to get some amazing things done. And I'm blessed with that. So there you go.
Let me ask you, what states that you have projects developed right now?
What was the question about what state?
Which states that you have projects that you're working on right now?
I'm working on a project here in Illinois. I'm working on a couple of them here in Illinois. I've got a 2.5-acre piece of land that I'm going to turn into 11 affordable houses. And that's because the city was decimated with a big business coming in and paying a real inflated wage. But what they did is they came in and they rented like 13,000 rental properties that are in my city, and they paid 3 times the rent for them, and they paid 1 year in advance. But what it did was it destroyed what was going on around here, and it made a lot of people homeless because the rents all went up. Everybody's rent went up.
Wow.
The house that you were paying $600 a month went to $1,800 a month.
Woo.
So,
wow.
You know, but I just got, you know, it kind of put a damper on me right here on one of those projects because I was just helping some veterans, some elderly, and some women. There were 7 of them total. And they fined me for having a porta potty there and letting them set tents up so they had somewhere to sleep without going to jail. And they fined me $7,360 October 19th for helping as a charity.
Wow.
So that just happened. Wow. You know, I'm still in shock over that, really.
Well, I could imagine. Wow. Well, people, let me tell you something. If you do not take advantage of what Brother Chris Cullings is offering and Hope for Housing is offering, do not say that you didn't have an opportunity to develop housing, develop jobs in your community. One of the major things that we talk about here on this program is jobs and housing, two of the most important things. To help people develop community, develop self-awareness, develop self-value, to help the children get educated and move them forward, housing and work. So if you do not, because this brother here, Brother Chris, is offering an amazing, amazing, amazing opportunity, and I dare say, like the good book says, he who have ears, let him hear. If you don't listen and take advantage of this brother's opportunity and to work with him, because I'm definitely going to work with you, Brother Chris. I'm definitely on board. You got my vote, brother, you know, and I'm definitely going to work with you and to spread this word around to the communities, because one of the devastating things that I see when I travel, and I see a lot of hopelessness, homelessness, and a lot of unemployment, and one thing leads to drugs and alcoholism, and the community dies, and everybody goes crazy, and it's over. And you're offering hope, definitely hope for housing. You're definitely offering hope to the people. And I'm just saying right now on this radio program, if people do not call you and take advantage of it, you did your part.
That's correct. I cannot make anybody's mind up for them. They make their own mind up. The only thing I can do is maybe influence, but, you know, how many influences are out here right now? What, you know, what are we actually going through as a human race? And
exactly. What
are our children learning? And what do we want them to learn? I want them to learn anything that they can think about, anything they can create in their mind that's positive. I want them to be there. But, yes, thank you.
Great. Thank you. And thank Pastor Don Jr. CEO for bringing you on. Pastor Don, man. This is great, man. This is a blessing. It's a blessing. The brother's a blessing. And, you know, God works in mysterious ways. And if you put one forward, people, God said he'll make two steps for you. So put a step forward and get with this brother, and let's get this going. And I want to thank you again, Brother Chris, for coming on. And do not become a stranger. Come on many times you can, because this is such a crucial, it's such a crucial and such an important awareness.
Well, here, let me throw a little more information at you guys real quick. I was able to send Ben Carson and Trump during his administration, but I sent it to Carson first, and I got a response from Carson before I got a response from Trump. But we've been able to get legislation passed nationwide, and if you're on Section 8, I can turn you into a homeowner. So it's time to stop the slumlords, turn people into their own landlords.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry, I got to stop you there. You said if you own Section 8, you can become a homeowner. That's powerful, man. That's really powerful, and people need to know there is another way. You got to have the right resources to apply to get out of your situation. I'm sorry, I'm off my soapbox. Excuse me.
Nah, brother, you're right. You're right. That's powerful. And listen, people like Chris only come every 100 million years, you know. But seriously, you dig where I'm coming from? You don't get these opportunities very often. People like Chris, man, you got to value these people. You got to take advantage of their knowledge and their skills and what they're offering people. You got to take advantage of it. You got to come together and participate in it. You can't sit around just talking about the issue. You got to be a part of the resolution. Dr. King said many a times, if you're just sitting around doing nothing, you're just as guilty as the person creating the problem. So if you're sitting around and you're not listening, you're not checking out Chris, you're not checking out his website, you're not calling him up, you're not engaging him, you're not asking him to come to your community to help you develop people, you're just not trying. You're not trying hard enough. And this is a great opportunity. You know, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. You know, God works in mysterious ways, but we have to make a move. And so I'm just saying, people, make that move. Make that move. I'm tired of people calling me and saying, da, 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 but you're not doing anything. What the good book said? Faith without works is dead. Faith without working is dead. Faith without working is dead. And I said it three times, like Pastor Don Jr. said, one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit. But people, come on now. This is a good brother. He has a tremendous heart. I can just feel his spirit. He has a beautiful spirit, and he's doing this out of love. He's not trying to get rich quick schemes or anything like that. He's doing this from his heart, and take advantage of it. Everybody take advantage of it. I'm definitely going to call you, Chris, and I'm going to see what, you know, what you and I can do together and develop certain things that I saw. I had years ago something similar, strong families, strong communities, and we basically were saying, let's go into the ghetto areas and let's rebuild the dilapidated buildings and let's get people construction skills and abilities and let's pay them and let them buy these homes that we fix. Something similar to what President Carter did with the Habitat for the Community, the Habitat for Humanity. So, you know, it's people working together and getting things done. Different ideas and whatnot that makes this country move. That's how this country became the greatest country it is, because of the people working together. So we have to continue. We have to continue to work together. We have to continue to take advantage of people like Brother Chris and continue moving forward. So thank you so much, brother. I appreciate that. I'm having you on as well. And like I say, don't become a stranger. Come back again and again and again. We're going to have some coffee and stuff for you. You know, definitely.
Sounds
definitely,
good.
Definitely. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, people, moving on here now. Chris is still on as well. And as y'all well know, technology is what it is. We're going to open up a mic 702-263, and hear some of your comments. Your mic is open.
Okay, my name is Carol Frazier. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada. And Pastor Don, CEO, and 300 Elite winning team members. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you very clearly. How are you?
Okay. I have an entertainment website, which I started as a newspaper in 1991, an Inside Look Entertainment News. I was concerned with where our people were not highlighted in different movies until later on you figure out, hey, oh, I didn't know we were in this movie. So I'm changing the human perception of a positive light, showing awareness through entertainment, showing our side and another perception. And we have local, national, and international news with Inside Look Entertainment News.
Wow.
It is, I started it in 2019 back up as digital. But then, you know, the pandemic started, so that set us back another 2 years, starting it then as digital. And we now have over 9.9 million impressions on our website.
Wow.
And what I do is I help businesses promote their business through advertising on Inside Link Entertainment News.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And how many years have you been doing this now?
Well, we started in 1991. In Seattle, Washington. It was a paperback newspaper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, things have changed.
And now you're going digital? And you're going digital
now?
Yeah, now
we're going digital.
Video. Wow.
Yeah, video, interactive website showing we have theater, movies, we show, we have poetry on the website.
Wow. Beautiful.
Sports.
Let me ask you something. When you started off and when you convert to digital, what's your capacity now to reach across the country and maybe across the world?
Well, it is local, national, and international news.
Wow. Wow.
Yes. And
so how long were you able to... How long you been digital?
We've been digital since, well, like I said, I got my business license, changed it over in 2019, but then the pandemic. So it's been, I'd say, a good year now on the website to reach over 9 million impressions.
So now, you, what kind of responses you're getting from your resources, what kind of responses you're getting from your potential listeners, viewers? Well, what are you hearing across the country since the information that you got out there now? Because you're saying that, okay, there are movies and whatnot that happen, you know, and you're bringing a history of a level of entertainment that started from years and years back, and you're bringing up educational opportunities for people to understand how, you know, everyone had participated probably in silent movies. You go that far back, silent movies?
Yes, we do. Yes, we go way back, like the Nicholas Brothers on our Moments in History page. I keep that on that page where the Nicholas Brothers, when they talk about the gambling on that one, when they did that on that show when they were dancing, I keep that on that page. Lucky Numbers, that one.
Okay. Yes. Yes. I'm old enough.
And yeah, Lucky Numbers. Him and his brother are singing and dancing, and it's really comical.
Right.
I keep that on the Moments in History. We feature whatever was in history in that month all over the world. What was the
top. Is so amazing. Isn't it amazing how you could watch a nonverbal, non-speaking movie, silent movie, and it is just so funny. You know, back then it was a lot of physical comedy. You know, they would fall and, you know, get up and things of that sort. And it's just tremendous how you can look at a movie and not hear anything, but the imagery, and sometimes, you know, you're just reading, you know, as they're speaking, the words are being put up there. And it is just so funny. It's very, you know, it's interesting to me that silent movies were that funny. As opposed to
right, because they were. You were like Charlie Chaplin. I mean, he was one of the greats.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
one of my
with his comedy.
Yes, yes. He was just a master at imagery and physical comedy. You know, he would fall, and you would start laughing. You know, your head off. It was just tremendous. But it was to me that's like a real. It showed real artistry. Real caricatures, real character development, you know, the quality of entertainment at that time, you know, to get somebody
right,
to really
right, because you had to show
laugh.
Your whole body and your mind
yes.
was in that movie.
Right.
I remember
right.
one time my father told me that his first movie was a cowboy movie. My dad was born in 1924. And
wow.
He said that he sat in the front of the audience, and when those horses stampeded coming towards him, he said he screamed because it was that perception of that was so real to him that he thought they were going to come through the screen.
Right, I know what you mean.
And I thought that was awfully funny.
My father was born in 1924 as well, and that's true. That's true. Oh. It was the excitement of theater and movies, you know, and matter of fact, people, it changed a lot of the environment. I mean, you know, people, that was back in those days, you know, that was the way that people found some kind of happiness, you know, in situations, because we had, in the 1920s, we had the big depression. The economy was, you know,
right.
we had an economic depression at that time. And one of the ways in which people found some solace, some peace, was through theater and movies and things of that sort. And that's a great history, sister, that you're keeping that history up. It's so important for young people to understand, you know, how all this started. I mean, here we in a whole other gamut of the industry. We're in a whole other gamut of entertainment and how we receive entertainment, get entertainment. So it's so, you know, so many ways to get it now. But that history of how it all began, you know, that's important. And so you're doing it.
Right, it
you're
is.
Doing,
it's very thing. Important, and that's why I started, because just like acting and entertainment is music, because we feature music also, TV,
Beautiful.
Because that brings people together. And I want people to know when they look at Inside Look that we're all in this together. All nationalities, all people are there. All people can act. I mean, we've been like, what was his name? Michael Ox or whatever. He was a high-profile movie director.
Yes.
And he was a black
right.
man. I'm trying to remember his name, but
yeah, I know.
That's why I started, because
right.
I wanted people to know that we are in these movies. It bothered me when I'd see a commercial, maybe you see a flash of a entertainer that's in the movie, but you never knew it. And when I started it in 1991, I would feature the movies that showed people of color in it so that you could know that, hey, we're in this movie.
Beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful. You know, you just said something very important. Entertainment is one of the major things. I grew up in segregated South Carolina, and one of the things that brought us together as a community was entertainment, whether it's movies or music. You know, we would all get together and enjoy different levels of entertainment. We had a thing. I grew up in a farm in South Carolina. My grandpa was a farmer, you know, and so mm-hmm. forth and so on. My grandfathers were all farmers, and we had the farmer's wow. picnic. And at the farmer's picnic back in the 50s, we would all come together. I remember as a kid, the community would come together, you know, everybody, black, white, whoever, and we all would come together and have this picnic together, and we would have music, and we would watch silent movies on a big screen, and that brought us together as a community. You know, it brought us together. So we don't have those things now. You know, to help communities come together, to help people know who their neighbors are. You know, it's rare that people know who their neighbors are. It's rare that people have a neighborly environment. You know, where
exactly.
kids grow up and everybody
yeah.
knows everybody. You know, I remember when I was a kid. I was 5 years old and walking down the street, and everybody would know me, and they'd know my parents, and they would help me, you know, get where I want to go, you know. And you had that kind of, what they call it, the village to raise a child type of concept, you know. And one of the major things were the movies. The movies were one of the major things that also taught us from the movies about community, about togetherness, and, you know, and et cetera. So, that's a tremendous history that we lost, and we need to gain that back again, you know.
Right. You're right, because there's no togetherness even with our own community, you know, less than on with other communities. But that's what I'm trying to get us to get back to, is that we're all important, and we all have a history of each other, you know, because I want us to know that we are worth something. All humans are worth something, and we're more worth
Amen.
Something together, because
Amen.
We fall apart if we're not together, and that's what's happening now. But we need a togetherness, knowing, like, in our own families, like I said, also, you know, and I want
yes.
people to know that we're worth something. We're here, and we're worth something for the history, like, you know, moments in history showing us, you know, we weren't just slaves. I mean, we were inventors also, kings and queens
oh, yes.
also.
Yes, yes. It is a tremendous, you know, Tom Hanks has a video out now, and he's angry because he said he did not know what transpired in America in the past. He did not know about Tulsa, Oklahoma. He did not know about certain things that happened in history, and he was not taught in school. And he's angry about that, and that's, you know, he's correct. It's important for us to know our history, whether bad or good or indifferent, because what happens when they say you know your history, you don't repeat it again. You go to something better.
That's right.
You know,
That's right.
I want better for my kids, but I also look at other people's kids. I want better for them as well. You know, you can't just say,
exactly.
I want for my kids, me. Right, you know what I'm saying? Some people got that me, myself, and I type of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not going to make anything good. The Bible says either you're going to live together as brothers and sisters, or you're going to die separate as fools. So,
as fools,
you know, either you can,
exactly.
you know, I don't want to be a fool, and I don't want to die separate. So it's so important that, you know, that we do things to educate the community and to bring the community together in harmony and understanding. And we need to, you know, another thing, we need to talk more. We need to have more discussions, you know, about
mm-hmm.
how we feel and what we're feeling, what we want, you know. And then sometimes when people sit down and they have discussions, and the guy said, geez, you know, that guy wants the same thing I want. Wow, he's just like me, you know. And you can find a company. You
exactly.
can, you, now, I say, listen, you can look for differences in everybody if that's what you're looking
mm-hmm.
for. You always can find a difference in everybody. But you can also look for similarities in humanity and love in everybody. The Bible says
exactly.
love covers a multitude of sin. So you can look for the good or you can look for the bad. But, you know, if you look for the good, you're going to find it and you're going to help develop it and you're going to bring in a better society for our children. So it's so important what you're doing, because movies, whether they're speaking or non-speaking movies, or silent or speaking movies, had a tremendous impact on the society in terms of societal growth, in terms of the environment. You know, I'm a retired psychologist, and I know that most of my clients back in the day, one of the major impacts on their lives was television, because, you know, after the 50s and going into the 60s and 70s, television became like a babysitter. You know, parents would put their kids in front of the television, you know what I'm saying, and go cook, or go do whatever they had to do, you know, around the house. And the kid would sit there and watch, whether it's cartoons or comedy shows or whatever it is. But that gave that kid an idea of society. You know, they gave them an idea of what things. You know, they talked about Sesame Street and the long impact that Sesame Street had on people in terms of learning, in terms of understanding as a child. Because most kids would say Sesame Street was my babysitter. You know, the parents would put them in front of the television.
I know, when I was going to college, not to stop, break off what you were saying, but I would watch Sesame Street. And I thought to myself, I said, when I get married and have children, they're going to watch Sesame Street so that they can learn how to read and know how to treat different people, people of their self and other people.
Yes.
So it really had an impact on me, Sesame Street did.
It's tremendous. And you know something? I didn't think about it until Channel 13 did a historical analysis of Sesame Street. And all the people, famous and non-famous, how they were talking about their impressions of different things on Sesame Street and how Sesame Street have grown and changed, you know, in the society. But the characters remain the same. You know, Big Bird and Cookie Monster and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're still there. But how it impacted the different, if you will, the different generations of people, you know, whether they're 70, 60, 40, 50, you know, 20, it has such a tremendous impact. But the one thing that I remember is that it, and all parents had agreed to this, it was the best babysitter ever. You know,
no, you're right. Because I know it babysat
me.
I know the cartoons early in the morning on Saturday. I was there. Right in front of the TV
and, you
set.
And I remember doing it to my children. My oldest is 50. My youngest is 29. I have six kids. I remember all of them. All of them can tell you their Sesame Street moment, you know. And so that's the impact of television. That's the impact of that artistry. That's the impact of that industry on us as a people. You know, I remember back in the 50s when cars became such an important element in And the freedom in America, if you will. Everybody wanted a car. Every young person wanted a car. And it was television that expressed the freedom of a Mustang convertible, you know, a Corvette, Cadillac, you know. Well, back when I was growing up, if you had an Oldsmobile, you was considered rich or a Pontiac, you know. But just the movies, Ernest Borgnine, all those great actors that played gangsters, you know, it was always the cars were a big impact on that. You know, the Cadillac, the Oldsmobile, the Chevy, you know, those cars played a big part in that. And so the culture, as you're saying, was being developed through movies, you know.
Even smoking until they found out it's bad for you. You know, those were the sponsors.
Exactly. People got their information through television. people found out about, just like you said, whether it's health issues, whether it's good health, bad health, whether it's cooking, dining, with the best, this is vacationing, you know, like I said, cars, homes, you know, all this stuff. You know, I remember Father Knows Best and, you know, Leave It to Beaver and, you know,
that was my yes, Lucy.
You know, it was, and it was just
Amos and Andy.
What's
that show?
Yes. It was all about family. It was about community. It was about you know, and you just really you felt, you know, these people. You felt so. Well, I got my name. My name is Ronnie, and my parents were avid. They just loved the Burns and Allen show. And Burns and Allen, they had a son named Ronnie. And my parents said, wow, we'll get one Ronnie too, you know. Here I am, you know.
Yeah.
I said, well, guys, y'all didn't get no creative, y'all didn't get creative about me giving me a name, but just watch the show and boom, you know. But my mother and father loved the show so much, and they loved Burns and Allen, and they just loved the show. And you know, here I am now with this, because people ask me, how you get that name? Well, this is the story, you know. Buy
That's
the book,
cool.
buy my book, and you'll get the rest, you know. But that was the way it was growing up. The impact of television was tremendous on the society, whether it was good or bad or indifference. But like you said, the knowledge of that history is gone if we don't, you know, bring it up to par. And our children are missing a lot of the artistry now. I mean, one of the greatest things now is that most people now find economic stability in entertainment. You know, a lot of people go from poverty to some kind of wealth by singing or acting or dancing or modeling, you know. All this stuff comes from television, the culture of the artistry of modeling, television. Acting, television, whether it's opera, whether it's on stage, whether it's live performances, or whether it's, you know, movies and those sort of things, all that stuff depicted the American life, you know, whether we talk about the American dream, whether we talk about the American family, the American culture, you know, how we ate, how we sat, how we watched movies, how we interacted. You know, I remember the soda jerks. Back in the day, they would make the egg cream with the egg cream sodas, you know, vanilla, chocolate.
Oh, yeah. Dairy Queen.
You remember?
I know we went to Dairy Queen when Dad got – he worked for Boeing. My dad did. Every Friday when he got paid, he'd take – it was 10 of us, okay? We'd go to Dairy Queen.
Wow.
And the kids would get a 5-cent Dairy Queen. Me and my older sister, we'd get
together?
A 10-cent. Dairy Queen.
Wow. He take all 10 of y'all at one time?
Yes, we all, I was born in Wichita, Kansas. And that's where we lived and grew up. Dad bought a house when I believe I was 1 year old. Started with my older sister, me, and then my younger sister. And he had all those 10 kids in that house, 2-bedroom basement.
Wow. Wow. Hey,
and
listen,
then he moved up to Seattle in 1966. He was on a cruise ship or something Boeing did. He was one of two guys who knew how to read blueprint. So he got to move with his family, you know, there.
Wow.
And we liked it, so he stayed.
Wow. What a beautiful story. Beautiful story. Mm-hmm. That is America, and that's what it was about.
People had lots
of children. People could survive. I remember growing up, most women, sometimes the husband worked in a factory, but the wife stayed home and took care of the kids. And
the
salary,
what Mama did. Yeah.
Isn't that something? The salary would pay for everything. If you're going to college, that one salary would take care of that. If you... Yeah, you need to go to the dentist, you know, if you were going to get a car. That one salary took care of so many needs of the family. And like you say, every dollar is the size of the family as well. And children back then had chores. and they would get a little job, you know, and make a couple of maybe 50 cents, 75 cents a dollar a week or something.
Oh, yeah,
like that.
Babysitting. I mean, I was such an entrepreneur then. I would take in laundry, iron the people's stuff and have them pick it up. I'd babysit. I'd make all kinds of cookies in seventh grade, take the kids' orders on Friday, and Monday I'd come back with everybody's order. Probably 50 cents for the whole bag of cookies that everybody, you know, would buy. I'd take my little, you know, my my map down and say what people wanted, you know. And I was just always trying to make money any kind of way.
So you was a good cook. You was a good cook even at that age, huh?
Oh, yeah. Peanut butter, chocolate chip, oatmeal, raisin. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I have a beautiful recipe for cheesecake that nobody can beat.
Wow. Now, okay, watch it. Watch it. That is my demon possessed dessert. I love cheesecake. I can't. My wife told me you're crazy. Everywhere my wife and I go, I don't care if it's Europe, Africa, Caribbean, Asia, I'm looking, where's the cheesecake? Where's cheesecake?
Yeah.
Can anybody say cheesecake?
Yeah.
Is there cheesecake?
That's a beautiful recipe. It really is.
Now you're talking my language.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You got to, girl, you just said something now. You had to bite me over and let me get some of that cheesecake.
Yeah, because I didn't get to make it for Christmas. I usually make it on Christmas, but I'm going to make it on New Year's. So, yeah.
Wow. Well, now you have to contact me. How about if you got an overnight at FedEx, you know, whatever.
No problem.
Some of that cheesecake.
No problem.
I met a young woman who do a very I mean, she makes a cheesecake out of this world. I don't know how she do it, but she's not going to tell anybody, you know, the recipe. Her grandmother gave it to her, and grandmother gave, you know, that kind of story.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just so delicious. I never taste nothing like it. There's a baseball player whom I'm friends with, Mickey Rivers from the Yankees. His son started playing with, not cheesecake per se, but he started making God, here you go, you get old, you forget. He started making, what they call it? I'm going to say raisin bread, but it's not raisin bread, but it got raisins in it. Fruitcake, if you will, fruitcake.
Oh, fruitcake,
yeah. He started playing with different forms of ways of making fruitcake, and he had this fruitcake, which he implemented cheesecake with the fruitcake. However he did it, it was all these different types of fruits, pineapples, bananas, strawberries, raisins.
I can imagine.
Oh, my God. I told this kid, I said, he was in the minor baseball leagues. His father was one of the, Mickey Rivers, I think in 1976, the Yankees won the World Series. Mickey Rivers made the big hit. So his dad was like a big, you know, thing in the Yankees. So his son was trying to come up behind him. He was in the minor leagues, but he was trying to get to the majors. And his dad was being a big influence on him, but he never made it. But nevertheless, I said to him, you know, I'm glad you didn't make it because you probably wouldn't be making this nice cheesecake, fruitcake, whatever, you know.
Cheesecake fruitcake. That sounds good.
Cheesecake fruitcake. I don't know what to call it, but it was so delicious. So delicious. My wife said, you're going to eat yourself to death, okay? I said, well, if you learn how to make this, you know, we can stay together forever. No, I'm just kidding. But that's tremendous. That's tremendous. But thank you so much. It's been quite the evening conversations in terms of movies and economic development with my brother there, Mr. Chris Culler, who is still on as well. Right, Chris, you're still there? Okay, maybe he's on another call, but I would love to stay in touch. Love to, you know, get more information about what you're doing with the movies and stuff like that.
Have you looked at the
grandchildren?
Website?
No, I you have to give me the website so I can go.
You're gonna have to look at the website.
Give us your contact information, how one can contact you, and also give us the website.
Okay, my email is info@insidelookentertainmentnews.com. The office number is 702-263-2173, and my fax is 702-263-2410. The website is Pardon?
Mm-hmm. Say the fax number again.
The fax number is 702-263-2410.
Okay. Okay.
And the email address is https://insidelookentertainmentnews.com.
Okay. Do you have any kind of social media, Facebook?
Yes,
Twitter,
I do have social media.
Instagram.
If you go to my website and go to more, you scroll over from the top and you click on more and then about us at the bottom, everything is there.
Okay, great. Now, just tell the folks what would you like, you know, in terms of your social media, in terms of what you're doing, in terms of exposure. Is there a particular group of people that you're trying to reach? Are you trying to reach young people, older people, young people? You know, just tell us a little bit about what you would like to see happen.
Okay, from 14 to 65 plus. And we're always looking for advertisers to help them promote their business. We do feature, when you go to the website, you'll see everything that we feature, like music, movie reviews, fashion, travel, health, poetry, book reviews, video games. We have a gaming page for that. Religion,
oh, wow.
I call it, it's you just click on if you go all the way to the right and click, then there's a banner that will come down.
Okay, great.
Yes.
What would be in one word? What would be the one thing you would like for folks to take away from all this education that you're offering?
That I'm just trying to change the world with what I'm doing. I'm very religious. I care about people. I'm loving. I can watch somebody on the news, and if something's happening to them, I will cry. I can't help it. I say to God, why am I so emotional? But I am. I care about it, and I care about educating people about what's happening in the world, you know, and try to make it positive. You know, the only thing we do that might be negative is when someone dies in the industry, then we do feature that. But I try not to have any, like, he say, she say, things like that. Mm-hmm. It's not a gossip column.
Okay.
It's happy.
All right. Beautiful. You know, my grandmother always said, give me my roses while I'm living. People always do that after people left. And I'm saying to myself, mm-hmm. why didn't they do that while they were living, you know? Sister, I forgot her first name, last name, Mitchell. She was the first black person, I think, general, that was, in 1968 ran for president and got elected by a major party, you know. And she was 95, living in a nursing home in Harlem, you know. And people just forgot about her, you know. And so I'm just saying, like you're saying, you know, recognize people while they're living, give them their flowers, give them your attention, and et cetera. Well, sister, as all good conversations and all good deeds, you know, when you're having fun, they say time runs out.
That's right.
And I would like to say thank you so much, sister, for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It was beautiful.
Thank you. Come back again. Don't become a stranger. Come back many, many times. Call in. I'll recognize your number, and I'll give you. I'll definitely let you have something to say because what you're doing is extremely important. And Brother Chris Culler, thank you so much for coming on. What you're doing for humanity and housing and jobs is a tremendous important as well. And people, as we leave once again, Hezekiah Walker said it so wonderfully in the song that we're going to hear as we ending the show. It got to get better because God is in control. God bless. Be good to your neighbors. Yes, be good to yourself. And have a nice holiday. Bye now.
You too. Happy New Year.
Come on, everybody. Put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world. Listen to these words. People come.
People go.
People
go.
Your life has been out of control.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your song, it will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause
God is in control,
y'all. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Hey.
Find the praise
within your heart.
Keep on running.